the last day that we're all together. So Pete's playing all the old stuff. Club going up on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Remember that.
Emptying out the drawers, if you will.
Yes.
That's right. So who's the board op the last day? You don't know?
Not sure.
They better bring it.
Well, they're not going to because they don't know the show that well. Oh. So Mike's going to have to do.
I'll have a lot of stuff organized from the day before preset.
Double duty.
Oh, okay.
Mike will be in there.
Is he qualified?
Running yes. around.
Ran the board for 3 years before coming here.
Oh, did you? Two for years. Who?
Doug Gottlieb.
Oh. Okay.
This is a very important program at Doug Gottlieb.
It was.
It's on television. A lot of stuff going on with that Gottlieb show. So he knew what he was doing.
Did he know you existed?
No, he didn't.
I didn't think so. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. That's the way he rolled, huh?
Mm.
Yeah. So I've been trying to get Mike to host with me on the 28th.
Yeah.
But he cannot crack our boss.
Nope.
I don't know what the big deal would be.
Tough nut to crack.
I don't know.
It's a holiday week. It's weird that I'm even doing the show.
Yeah, we gave him an audition and everything. We thought he passed.
Yeah, and I don't know if Eric heard that. Did he hear that? I think he did. We asked him.
He said he did. Yeah,
he said he heard it.
He complimented you.
So I said whenever they announced the new show that I'd do a show on the 28th with whoever the new guy is. I was thinking whoever the new host was, like whoever's going to be in this chair here, I would do the show with that person. So I don't know if that's going to work out. But if it doesn't, I mean, Mike, just one show. All the abuse he's gone through.
It was warranted, though. It was of his own volition.
Some yes, Brian.
The majority of it.
Yeah.
All of it. Just don't walk around and randomly abuse people. They asked for it.
So I'm going to be doing, I guess, what is it, five more shows after today.
Mm-hmm.
So three of which the rest of this week will be with Andrew Filippone, who does CBS Sports Radio weekend shows, midday host in Pittsburgh at my old station, one of my good friends.
So is he doing his show after yours?
No.
Okay.
He came here, and he's going to be here, I guess, tomorrow. Well, maybe tonight, and he's going to be doing these shows, and that's it. So,
wow.
And then,
that's a good friend.
Well, yeah, it's a nice opportunity for him. So. Okay. But, yeah, it'll be a cool experience. And then the 29th, of course, will be our last show together. So the 28th is still open. So, I could do it by myself. Bogus is off that day. But that's a little lame. You know, morning show, you need more voices. I did a weekend show by myself for a long time. It'd just be a little bit on the
Well, Mikey B's
side.
Going to be here, right?
He'll be here, yeah.
Well, just talk to him the whole damn time.
No,
he's
got to be... He can't do both. He's got to be here.
It's a vibe.
He's got to be a guy who's in the studio and actually host the show.
You still have a number of days to work the boss over to make this happen, correct?
Yeah. I'm kind of tired of trying to work him over with this one, though. Yeah. You know, it's got to just when you run into that brick wall over and over again.
He wants nothing to do with me on the show.
He really doesn't.
He doesn't.
He wants nothing. Yeah.
So he doesn't like you either.
I don't know if he doesn't like me. I don't think he likes my on-air
presence.
Him. Oh,
he likes him.
Oh, he does.
Doesn't like me as a host.
He doesn't like you.
He already gave Sean Marash like 50 shows. So he's thinking, I can't do this again. I can't open the floodgates.
You have Marash sit in with you?
I thought about it.
Oh.
But then that would make Mike
That
a
would
little,
depress me.
Yeah, that would make
That's
him upset.
That's the one that would
Well,
that
Mike,
would
you know,
little,
sometimes you just have to take the pain, man. You know?
That's fair. No, I get that, and I wouldn't. Yeah. I would come in here and do my job. I wouldn't, but
just
internally it would bother
he
me.
He doesn't believe in you as an on-air talent. Maybe someone else will.
What are you doing here in this building?
Okay, maybe they won't.
That's a good point. No, I understand how it works.
What about Coop? Think we get Coop to do a full show?
He talked to me this morning. I don't know. I don't know. I'm right 2 feet away from the man. I still don't know what the hell he said.
Enjoy your family.
I do not know what he said.
Yeah. And then Calhoun. I saw Calhoun for the first time in a long time today.
Standing up, mind you.
Oh, wow. You saw him standing up?
He was standing up. His legs do work.
Calhoun, I haven't seen sleep. It's always Coop who's sleeping.
I've seen both at the same time.
I think Calhoun goes to a secret room to sleep.
Oh,
I've seen both sleep at the same time.
Dollar way.
He goes to a secret room.
Because when I get in the morning, he's not there. Now, today I had to go back to my car to get my headphones, and he's there. So I think he's taking a nap somewhere else.
Well, why doesn't he just, he can't come in at a certain time in the morning? You think he's here all overnight? He could come in at like 4:30 or something.
I believe he has the same hours as Mr. Coop.
Okay.
And he
can't leave Coop alone.
I guess it's a bad look to have both guys sleeping.
Yeah, you hear that? I've seen both once again for the third time, knocked out.
Really?
Same time.
And you usually get here very late, so
I'm early and they are gone. Yes. I was
Coop and Calhoun both drooling behind the desk.
Yep.
Big old tiger.
Oh, you the man.
L. Rose.
Stay out.
Devin. L. Rose, stay out.
Devin in Arkansas on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Devin?
Oh, not much, man. I just thought I go on vacation. I come back, and I hear you guys are going to go off. Not going to be together anymore on the air. I just thought I'd say, hey, I remember when you guys had 20 Twitter followers.
And now we have 25. It's amazing how much we've grown.
Well, you know, you got to have a goal, right?
Yeah, that's right. Certainly. Well, listen, we appreciate that, Devin, and thanks for calling this morning.
Hey, no problem, man. Gio, I don't know if I can go all the way with you on some of that Minnesota stuff, but I like your Pittsburgh comments about the Patriots winning. And Gio, Texas, yeah, okay, it's on the map.
You probably stuck in Vietnam, aren't you?
Damn straight.
Yeah. Thanks, Devin. The best part about Devin's call was he called UGO as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I was obviously having a big impact on his life.
Damn, did he?
Yeah. He goes Gio and Gio.
Block his number, man. You know how the folks from Arkansas are.
Right. So I didn't even really think about this so much until PDB brought it up, but it really is sort of ridiculous that they retire both of Kobe's numbers last night in a game against the Warriors. Aren't you supposed to do that type of stuff in a game where you're going to beat the opponent?
Homecoming.
Yeah, right. You're just going to lay over somebody. So that was a little bit weird. But anyway, so Kobe Bryant gets 8-24, retired last night. And it really has been interesting why people care so much about Kobe as number 8 and Kobe as number 24. A big deal.
I'm with you.
And then he gets asked about it last night. He finally gives an answer on it. He goes, you know, if I had to pick one, it would be 24 because I had a tougher time and it was a harder uphill battle with 24 and, you know, it wasn't easy and all that stuff. But, I mean, all right, he got both retired. He should have. He's one of the great Lakers of all time. I like the fact that both of them are retired. But you know, the way people breaking it down, like, 8 Kobe was better than 24 Kobe, but 8 Kobe had Shaq, and 24 Kobe had Powell, and Powell was underrated. What? Shut up!
Who cares? The man was great in both uniforms with both numbers, and, you know, it really didn't bother me that much that they were going up against Golden State. It's a marquee game, but no matter who you put on the court against the Lakers, this version of the Lakers, truly, what percentage chance would you have given them of winning? I like the fact that you had the Warriors in there and
played well.
And exactly. They played well and had a chance to win the ball game, but you know, the moment it wasn't even about the opponent. Of course, it was all about Kobe and what he was able to accomplish when he was there with the Lakers. So, what a phenomenal evening! And the only player ever in any sport to have two numbers retired. That just tells you what type of career he enjoyed.
Yeah, I know that there's people out there that are bigger Jordan guys or bigger LeBron guys, and you know they want to trash Kobe and bring up stuff like, oh, his teammates couldn't stand him, and he had Shaq and he had Powell. I mean, why? I mean, and I'm a huge Kobe Bryant guy. I love Kobe Bryant.
Now, here's the deal, though, G. If they can't stand you, what's the reason they can't stand you? There's different variations of not being able to stand a teammate. Is it because he pushed you too hard?
Well,
That's it. He's demanding, and he wanted to win, and he wanted everyone held accountable. So you want that type of teammate.
Yeah, and I don't get this. Well, I'm going to not enjoy someone's career because I want to believe that another player that I like better is better. And if you are hating on Kobe and weren't able to enjoy the things he did, I feel bad for you. That era of Lakers basketball with him, and I was rooting so damn hard for him to get a championship without Shaq because I wanted that to be a part of his legacy. Ends up getting two without him. And he was just watching him and so aesthetically pleasing to watch.
Oh, he was a freakish,
beautiful player.
Freakish
really
athlete.
Was.
Yeah, freakish. And I grew up disliking the Lakers. I've never been a Lakers fan. And my favorite player growing up was Dr. J. But I could still appreciate what Larry Bird was doing. I could appreciate what Magic Johnson was doing with the Lakers, even though I couldn't stand the Lakers, couldn't stand the Celtics. I'm a Sixers fan. And so you don't have to hate on these other superstars just because your guy played during the same era as they did and was as great, if not greater. I became a Michael Jordan fan. A Bulls fan, and I still hold him as the top notch as far as me and basketball, my basketball days, even over Dr. J, as great as he was. So you don't have to try to tear down Kobe Bryant just because you believe Michael Jordan was the greatest player of all time.
Or
Kobe
LeBron.
Was great.
Yeah,
or LeBron, yeah.
Right. I mean, all these guys are amazing to watch, and all of them have flaws, too. I mean, every single one of them. I just those arguments, to me, they drive me nuts. And there was very few times that I've been starstruck in sports or otherwise. But 2008, as a producer, went out to an NBA Finals game. It was Game 5 of the 08 Finals. The Lakers were down 3-1 to the Celtics and went to Game 5 at the Staples Center. And they won that game. Afterwards, I went to the press conference, watched Kobe after the game. And then, just by chance, end up in the bowels of the Staples Center leaving. And he's leaving with his wife and kids, walking with other media members, and happened to be in the elevator with him. And it was just like, oh, my goodness. Like, it was like the coolest thing to be that close to Kobe after he played and won an NBA Finals game. Like, that's something I will never, ever forget. He had that impact on me. Very few athletes have where I'm stopping, I'm watching, I'm rooting.
Even if it's a team you don't root for,
yeah,
you still take notice.
Well, the Knicks have been so bad that stretch of Laker basketball with Kobe Bryant, because I was such a Kobe fan, filled that void for me because they were so terrible for so long and still sort of are. But at least it seems like they're turning a corner a little bit. Josh, Ohio, CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Josh.
Hey, good morning, guys. I haven't talked to y'all in for like forever. I'm the one that I think last year won those shoes that y'all signed.
Oh, yeah, the Doug Gottlieb shoes that he left in the studio. Yeah, that's right. Did you get those shoes?
I got them at home, and I still cherish those things because y'all signed them.
Well, that's nice, Josh. That's a great story. We appreciate it.
I hate to see you go, Jones. I've been a big fan of y'all both. I listen to you almost every morning as much as I can. So I hope it works out for you. You know, one Cowboy fan to another. So you never know. Maybe we'll get in and you can celebrate with a Super Bowl.
that's
hope right there.
Thanks, Josh. Go ahead.
I gotta say one thing. Whoever answered the phone, he must be tired of all the good luck farewell things, because I don't know who it was. Is that Bogus or who?
No, it's Mikey B. Why?
What did he do?
Mikey B. What do you want? Oh, you want to say goodbye? Okay, I gotta give him a hard time. I don't know.
Is that what he did?
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Grumpy.
That is ridiculous. That really bums me out. And yeah, thanks for letting us know, Josh, and cherish those sneakers.
Why are you so grumpy? Is PDB rubbing off on you?
I'm not grumpy. I don't know what Josh is talking about. I'm full of life and energy.
You want to say goodbye?
Yeah, I mean,
okay.
Somebody, we're not going to, not a lot of people are going to say goodbye. A couple people say goodbye. It's nice.
Yeah.
I agree.
You got issues with that?
No, I love it.
Oh, hater.
All right. There's only one person that can break this tie. Josh, the caller, says that Mikey B was grumpy and didn't want to take any goodbye phone calls. Mikey B says that that was not the case, and Josh is lying. There's only one other person who was privy to that phone call.
Yep.
That man is Republican Pete, Wrestling Pete, Petey Meats, Pistachio Pete. I don't know what else, Pete.
Hot Dog Pete.
Yeah, foot-long Hot Dog Pete.
Ice Fishing Pete.
Tarp Pete. So
a Chia Pet Pete.
Not anymore.
No.
All right, so what do you got, Pete? What happened?
Mike was cordial. He's always cordial with the callers. I would disagree with our caller.
I'm going with the Cowboy fan.
Okay.
I'm going with Josh.
Mm-hmm. He's got Mike's back, which is nice. But he's lying. There's no doubt about it.
What you want?
Oh, yeah, you
want
to say goodbye? Oh, okay.
So
like Eeyore.
Sure.
Can't find my tail.
Well, somebody else can call, and I'll prove everybody wrong.
Okay, sure.
Prove them wrong.
Go for it, man.
Just like I can host on the 28th, Eric.
Yeah, he's not listening right now, so. Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying it.
Oh, anything else you want to say to him now because he's not listening? Test it out. See how it works. If you're confident he's not listening, go ahead.
You should eat dinner.
This is the little stretch where he doesn't get the show, right?
Is it something you want to get off your chest?
No. I always say it to him, to the face, right? Come on.
Right.
He's probably calling right now. I can hear you. I can still hear you.
All right, coming up next, John Beeson joins us, CBS Sports NFL analyst, former NFL linebacker, and a bogus update. Keep it right here.
It's Gio and Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Bogus is here. He's got an update. What's happening, Bogus?
Guys, as a whole, the Falcons, again, rather unimpressive in Tampa Bay on Monday Night Football, but by himself, Devontae Freeman, very impressive.
Ryan under center, tosses Freeman right side, needs a block, gets it, 20, 15, 10, Freeman will walk into the end zone for the Falcon touchdown.
West Durham Falcons radio Freeman's 32-yard scamper put Atlanta up 10 in the fourth. They won by 3, 24-21, when Patrick Murray pushed a 54-yard field goal wide right as time expired. In the end, head coach Dan Quinn got 194 scrimmage yards from Freeman.
He's such a competitive guy, and he really looked like he was, you know, feeling it tonight and coming into his own. So it was vintage Freeman for sure.
The Falcons now 9-5. They remain one game behind the Saints and Panthers in the NFC South and one game clear of the Lions, Seahawks, and Cowboys for the second wildcard spot. The Packers now eliminated from playoff contention. First, he announced plans to sell the team this offseason. Now sexual harassment accusations have forced Jerry Richardson to give up day-to-day control of the Carolina Panthers. Tina Beck, named COO, making her one of the highest-ranking women in the league. Panthers linebacker Thomas Davis suspended two games for Sunday's blindside block on Green Bay receiver Devontae Adams. College football, Washington State extending Mike Leach through 2022. He'll reportedly make roughly $4 million annually. Final seconds in Indy last night. The Celtics, down one, prepared to put a pacer on the free throw line.
No timeouts here with 9.3 to go. Bogdanovich, same idea. Will trigger the side of the bounce. Looking for Oladipo. Fronted by Larkin. Comes inside to Joseph. Instead, they don't give the foul. It's lobbed across court and stolen by Rozier. He goes in and dunks with the right hand. And the Celtics have the lead. What in the world of Milt Palacio just happened here?
Now, to explain that Milt Palacio reference, we welcome in CBS Sports Radio NBA savant Mike.
Josh Jackson.
No, Mike's
that's
on the phone.
That's the guy that made that ill-advised pass?
He's calling the guest right now.
And I told him to pay attention to the update.
No, there was a pass. There was a steal there at the end. It was just a stupid pass.
Right. Bogdanovich made the pass. Right. Milt Palacio.
Pay attention to the update, which I was doing. That was a reference because Milt Palacio did that to the Nets about 10, 15 years ago.
There you go.
Beast in there?
No.
He did it.
The Celtics stealing a 112-111 win after trailing by 5 with 31 seconds left. As you boys were just discussing, the Warriors spoiled Kobe Bryant's jersey retirement, 116-114 in OT. Kevin Durant hit all four of his shots in extra time, including the tie-breaking J with 7 seconds left. The Spurs handled the Clippers, 109-91. The Thunder snuck past the Nuggets, 95-94. The Bulls beat the Sixers, 117-115. And the Rockets dropped the Jazz, 120-99, pushing their win streak to 14. 2 days after a huge win over Notre Dame, Indiana lost at home to Fort Wayne. And by 20, 92-72, the Mastodons hit 17 threes, matching the most ever from an opponent in Assembly Hall. The Boston Red Sox have re-signed first baseman Mitch Moreland for 2 years and reportedly $13 million. That ends their chase of free agent first baseman Eric Hosmer. The Boston Bruins blitzed the Blue Jackets 7-2, and the Devils rallied past the Ducks 5-3 to take over first place in the very competitive, as Brian knows, Metropolitan Division.
Yeah.
Boys.
All right, let's talk to John Beeson. John's a former NFL linebacker now working for CBS Sports. John, good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you? What's going on, Mike?
John's not answering.
Oh. We've had this occur a few times on Gio and Jones.
Just a few. Well, I mean, it happens a lot of places, but it happens here more, I guess. It
hasn't happened here in a long time.
Yeah. Hasn't it? Well, I guess probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess you're right. I can't think of anyone offhand. But if you weren't messing around with the update there, and maybe you would have found this out earlier, and then at that point, we'd have John on the show. He had to hang the phone up, answer the question, couldn't multitask.
And I hung the phone up because it went to voicemail.
Mm. I don't know.
I can multitask.
I don't know.
Better than Pete. That was unnecessary. I'm sorry.
Why is that? That was mean, man. It's Pete's last day working with all of us, and you're slamming a guy.
Where's the time to be healthy?
All right. Well, Vincent is in Vermont. He's not John Beeson, but he's Vincent. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's happening, Vince?
Hey, guys. Just want to let you know, best wishes wherever you guys end up. But I want to make two requests from a fan up here in Vermont.
Okay.
One, can you replay the Bob Huggins fake interview?
Yeah, we'll definitely do that on the last show. There's no doubt about it. We'll do that on the 29th.
And two, Brian's college infomercial / movie.
Oh, you're talking about Stepping Back?
Yeah, that's
what. Well, it was a real movie. We'll play some of Stepping Back as well. There's not going to be enough hours on the 29th to go back through stuff.
Man,
but those are two highlights.
We'll do Stepping Back now.
No. We'll do Stepping Back that day,
too. Oh, that day, too.
Yeah, we'll definitely play some stuff.
Music to my ears. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right,
thanks, Vincent.
We appreciate it. And Brian is going to be on television. He's going to be there doing your college football stuff. He's going to be on CBS Sports Network. He's going to be on regular CBS. He's just retiring from
dropping the mic
radio.
Yeah.
And he'll be doing more of that.
Yes.
And I'm still going to be doing morning radio, which is essentially my dream job next door at WFAN with Boomer Esiason.
Moving on up.
It'll be Boomer and Geo starting on January 2nd.
So this is Boomer Esiason.
Those are the places that we will be. So you can find us in, on television, on the radio, and
you're going to be both, radio and TV.
I'm going to be both. That's right.
Mm-hmm. I'm here for my 1:15 appointment.
Yeah.
Yes, I am. See, this is my non-threatening voice, so you should give me the damn job.
Well, John Beeson's here for his 7:25 Eastern appointment.
Is he?
That's
late.
Right.
Late. I told you they always late.
Who's
the ones that went to the U?
Former linebackers?
No, they.
Oh, okay.
Always late. Can't trust them.
Yeah, I'm going to lay out of this one. John. Hey, John, what's happening, man? Can you hear us?
What'd you say?
I said daughters do that to you. Babies do that to you.
Oh, you're going to blame it on the baby now?
Yeah.
Oh man, come on.
Of course.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to using that excuse. I got to be honest with you. My wife is pregnant. We're going to have our first child in February.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait to use that. Sorry.
The baby.
The baby.
Threw up on me. You know?
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's so many things I want to get out of.
You got to have 5 months of not sleeping.
Well, now your phone's terrible, John.
Yeah.
Put them on hold.
You on the baby's phone?
Put him on. He's using the baby monitor.
Yeah. To make a
phone call. But he goes, you got 5 months of not sleeping. I've had about 8 years of not sleeping, so I think I'll be okay.
You used to do.
Yeah. I said to my wife, I'm using those Bose noise-canceling headphones, and I'm sleeping during the night. I got the day shift when I get home. I'm sleeping during the night.
There you go.
All right, John. You back?
I'm here.
All right. Very good. So let's get to this Thomas Davis suspension. What did you think of that hit, and did you think that two games suspended was a justice in that particular case?
Well, I think it's simple. We're talking about children. When you discipline somebody, you just want it to be fair. You know, I have a sibling. You want it to kind of look the same. I'd say first off, I think, you know, Thomas' personality, who he is, how he plays, the person he is, man of the year. I think we know that he's not a dirty player. I'd say that first off. He is old school. He's been around for a long time. The game has changed. But I know that he was fined close to $50,000 earlier for a crackback hit. In my personal opinion, I think that he's trying to take his helmet out. I think he is trying to lead with his shoulder pad. But, I mean, he's a hitter. That's the game. I think he immediately felt bad about it. And I think everyone's in uproar because of what happened with Rob Gronkowski. I mean, to me, as long as I've been around the game, and I don't anticipate seeing something as egregious as what happened with Rob, for him to get one game is mind-boggling to me. I don't know, maybe it has something to do with the primetime game against the Steelers. I have no idea, but I will tell you this. This is clear-cut. This is not fair, and this is what the league has been. They do a horrible job of, you know, dishing out punishment, and, you know, something needs to happen. And at the end of the day, this is a football move, and what Robert did was gutless. It was cowardless. It was bad. It was that bad, and I know that that's the reaction from players because someone pulls your jersey, you got frustrated because you get held every play. I mean, I don't understand. So that's the way I see it. I know that, you know, it's going to be reduced to one game because of it, but it's not on par. It's not even close.
We're all in accord as far as Rod Gronkowski and the punishment that was meted out. That definitely wasn't severe enough. So I'm with you there. Now, you just transitioned out of the game a couple years ago. How difficult was it for you, because all these rules that are in place now and the league being proactive about taking the headshots out of the game, and as I stated earlier, hey, we're conditioned to go and try to inflict pain on your opponent. How difficult would it be for you now to adjust how you played under these current rules?
Well, it's one of those things where you're saying to yourself, like, at some point, somebody's got to be smart enough and say that the changes in the rules are actually making the game more dangerous. And I'll say this. You know, we had this big push in Little League football called heads-up football. And that's true. That's exactly how it's taught. Heads-up means see what you hit. Okay? Now, if the spine is perfectly aligned, right, like when we squat, right, when we squat, your spine's perfectly aligned. We can put a lot of weight on our back if we're strong enough. You squat, boom, you rack it. But we don't squat from our head up. I mean, we started our shoulders. So once you start to turn your head, meaning taking your head out of football, don't lead with your helmet, use your shoulder. Now your spine is actually curved, and even when you lift weights, if you look down when you squat, you're gonna hurt yourself. If you look to the right, you're gonna hurt yourself. So if your spine is perfectly aligning, see what you hit. In the case of Ryan Shazier, it's two things that he did wrong. First off, he was trying to lower his target, so he didn't see what he hit. Because I know that on a crossing route versus cover three, it's a kill shot for a linebacker. Mm-hmm. It is a kill shot. And he lunged because he wasn't trying to hit him too hard as opposed to running through the tackle. And finally, somebody said it. Coach Gruden last night during the Monday night game said, hey, you know what? They need to start finding some of these quarterbacks, because the bang eights, those seam routes, those crossing routes in cover three, those swing routes, I'm sorry, in cover two, you don't throw those because you're going to get your guy killed. You're going to get killed. When they started to change the rules, guys would roll around, literally roll around, get the flag because they look like they're hurt, and then they get up, and then they would, on offense, they would high-five each other. Because they got a 15-yard penalty, like, yeah, okay, we got a first down. It became that. And now, today, I'm just saying more defensive guys are going to get hurt because they're putting their spine in a position that it's going to cause more injury. Heads-up football is the way you play. You lead with your helmet. You stay aligned, and that's the game.
Geo and Jones and John Beeson across the country on CBS Sports Radio. It was Cameron Brate, Winston DeBrate, and then Ricardo Allen came in with his shoulder. the ball was thrown low, and Brait had to lower his target area. And even though Ricardo Allen came in with his shoulder, he still ended up making contact with the head and still got a 15-yard penalty after a discussion. And what scares me about that is I thought Ricardo Allen did everything he could have possibly done to do the right thing in that situation. Now what happens if they introduce this targeting rule that you have in college football, and then they go back and look at that, and they still see Ricardo Allen making contact with the helmet when he's trying desperately not to, and he gets thrown out of a football game, a crucial one in December.
Yeah, and you just don't have the players to do it. I think it's already hard enough on these officials. I mean, they completely botched the game with Pittsburgh on the Jesse James touchdown. And you see what happens when Brait saw the hit coming. It's a natural reaction. They cover up. So now he goes from being a 6'5 guy to being a 5'7 guy because he's balling up. He's protecting himself. He's not giving himself up. And that's what happens. They go up for the ball. Here comes a safety, because it's usually the safeties. And all of a sudden, the target area is smaller as they protect themselves. And you have the helmet to helmet. It's virtually impossible. They're trying.
Yeah.
But guys getting hurt. You know, it's just one of those things.
Yeah, you've already identified the target, and now you're heading into that contact, and all of a sudden, split second, you've got to alter your target area, and that's just so hard to do. I don't care how athletic you are, and yet they're not accounting for that when they assess these penalties. Let me ask you about the Panthers. You played the majority of your career there with the Carolina Panthers, and I
Correct.
Was suggesting to the guys earlier today that stuff – whatever's happening up top, it's usually news of it, rumors of it, and whatever you, however you want to characterize it, it trickles down to everyone in that locker room. You hear this, you hear that, you may dismiss it or whatever you, what have you, but you hear those things. Would you agree with that? Because we've been discussing this Jerry Richardson situation, and maybe mm-hmm. you can shed some light on it from your time there.
Yeah, so you know, I'll say this: I was there for almost 7 years. I did have a good relationship with Big Cat. And I would say that when I read the SI article, first off, I heard was he was selling the team. And then I was like, what? That's his baby. You know, I know that this guy is, you know, he's fast track trying to win a Super Bowl prior to leaving this earth. That was kind of his thing, especially after the heart transplant, which I was there for that also. I would say this. Everything was news to me except for the sense of how much power he commanded in the room when he walked in, how people treated him throughout the stadium. And it was like, you know, it was almost like this sense of like, it's, you know, it's the South, people have a lot of respect, but like literally you felt like you were walking on eggshells. And then I would say to his personality, now knowing, you know, in terms of what people would consider harassment, him and I did have dialogue where we would crack jokes. You know, one time I was missing OTA practice for the calcification of a sesamoid. Sesamoid is like a little bone in your big toe. It's like the size of an M&M. So the calcification that was up against it was like literally you couldn't even find it on the X-ray, but it was like the size of like a little pinhole. And it was painful, so I wasn't practicing. So when he went into the trainer's office, he saw Ryan Vermeer, and he saw an X-ray had my name on it, and it had a little dot circled, and they showed it to me. This is what the problem is. So he comes and he's laughing, and he, you know, in so many words, he called me soft. And then, you know, I immediately went to say that his chicken sucked, Bojangles chicken sucked, and his sweet tea sucked. So we had that kind of conversation. Some people might say, "Oh, well, he offended you," but you know that was our relationship. And for me, trying to get a grasp of what's going on, the situation, saying to myself, "Well, you know, people are going to take things the wrong way," and then you read the story, and you're just floored. You know, the comments of people referring to him as just Mr. You know. What he would do in terms of getting female employees alone and all that. It's just, my jaw literally dropped, literally dropped. And you want to have an opinion one way or the other. But under from my perspective with Big Cat, my best memory is I had my first surgery. I tore my Achilles. I was the first case, 7 a.m. I had to get there at 5:30 in the morning in the hospital. And Big Cat comes strolling into the hospital where I'm waiting to go in. And my mom was there. He asked my mom, could she step aside for a second? She just switched chairs. He sat down. They gave me anesthesia. He was holding my head. I mean, it was a wild moment for me. I never knew that's how he felt about me. But that's the Big Cat that I knew. Now, like you said, things trickle down the building. You assume you would know, but you know we didn't go upstairs unless you were kind of in trouble or something. Guys didn't go upstairs, man. I mean, I would say that. So, you know, when you hear the allegations and the fact that it was multiple times, it's just it crushes you because you have an opinion of somebody and you just never know.
Hey, John, really good stuff there. We appreciate you sharing those stories. Thanks for the time this morning, and all the best.
No problem. Have a good one.
Thanks, man.
You too. That's yep. John Beeson, former NFL linebacker. And that's what I was bringing up before is, you know, it's tough in not just Jerry Richardson's case, but many others, mm-hmm. that not one series of events or acts can define an entire person. Right. So I remember during the Matt Lauer stuff, you saw how upset his colleagues were, ones that obviously weren't affected by his disgusting behavior,
right.
that were saying this is really tough for me to deal with because the guy that I knew was not that person. You heard that with John Beeson right now.
Right, and in any situation, you have what your interactions were, your personal interactions were with that person, and now you didn't see this other disgusting, I'll use the words that you use, behavior. You didn't witness it. So all you have to go on is what your interactions were. And this guy had a double life, or this lady had a double life, and that part of her, I didn't, or him, I didn't get to see. I only saw this portion of the person. So, it's a difficult situation. It's troublesome for everyone that's involved, and especially those who hold Big Cat in high regard.
What's worse, being called Big Cat or being called Mister? Because both are kind of stomach turning.
Really? Big Cat is?
I don't know.
Big Cat's not stomach turning. Mister is.
You're a 70-something-year-old...
Big Cat.
Big Cat?
Yeah.
No.
I have no problem with Big Cat.
I mean, Andre Galarraga, maybe. The Big Cat. Jerry Richardson.
Look at you going back.
Jerry Richardson, not the Big Cat.
Yes, he was. He started the Panthers. Big Cat.
He's not a grande gato.
He's a grande. Gato.
You got to be able to move like a cat to be the big cat.
Well, he was the big cat because Big Cat had some big money and brought a franchise, NFL franchise,
all
to Charlotte.
Right, fine.
That's why he's the big cat.
What's your name? What's your big Mike? Like a microphone? No, never mind.
Greg Giannotti, Brian Jones on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Sort of self-serving to take phone calls about people saying that they're going to miss the show, but we've only been on 3 years.
We need that, man. We have low self-esteem.
100 years.
Yeah.
You know, if we were on for decades, I'd say, okay, let's do it, but we haven't been on for decades.
We did a lot in 3 years.
But I still want to hear from these nice people.
Right.
Is that okay?
I just said we have low self-esteem. We need this.
Josh in Pennsylvania, CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good, Josh. What's on your mind, man?
Hey, I just want to thank you guys so much. Been listening for all 3 years. And, you know, I get up every morning to go to work, and you guys have me in tears. I'm going to be my girlfriend's moving in with me, and I told her that you guys would have to, or she'd have to deal with you guys every morning, but turns out she's moving in the day after you guys are done.
Oh, man.
She fixed that, didn't she?
Yep, got a 2-bedroom, you know, being like Jonesy and keeping her in the other bedroom.
There you go. Look at that. You've learned something from us as well. Well, we appreciate that, Josh. It means a lot to us. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, congratulations to you guys on your new adventures, and take care.
All right. You too, Josh.
My new adventure, sleep.
That is funny that he warned his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He's going to have to deal with us.
That's it, man.
Every morning.
That's our third Josh today as well. Keeping count.
Sean in Topeka, Kansas on CBS Sports Radio. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, guys. I just want to tell you, I've been listening to morning radio, waking up since I was a teenager, and that goes back over 35 years. And you guys are just the best show I've ever had. I'm really going to miss you. Brian, I used to call you guys on the Mojo Show a few times. And Greg, you just have a special way of bringing out the best in Brian that has just been great. And I want to wish you and your goofy wife the very best. I remember all the stories of your wife. And I remember back in the very beginning, you told us all she thought Paris was a country. And that was your sign, buddy.
Yeah. You know what? That is amazing that you remember that, Sean. And thanks for those kind words. That's some of the nicest stuff anybody's ever said to us. That's pretty cool.
That is cool, man. Yeah. You've been listening to that long. And we said on top of that mountain, that's sweet.
Yeah. So, all right.
And he's right. You do pull out the worse than me.
Yep.
Get me in trouble.
I like this. I like taking these phone calls. It's nice.
It's cool.
Listen,
I'm glad it resonates.
I'm fully aware how self-serving it is. Fully aware. Trust me. I know how. I have the self-awareness meter's going off, but I'm still going this way. Why not? You know?
Well, it's not.
I mean, it's been 3 years.
And you can do a lot in 3 years.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not been.
Why? Has been 30, but three, a lot can happen.
Yeah.
Just pat yourself on the back. That's
not right.
Why really? Is it not right?
It's just,
you can't enjoy a damn thing.
Oh, I can. I just
that's
don't.
That's not right.
But are we doing the best job for our listeners by sitting here and taking these phone calls?
Yes, they're calling us. Nobody's forcing them to pick up the phone.
No, those are the callers. Listeners are different.
Oh, shut.
No, it is true. It's true.
A listener can become a caller. Caller was a listener.
Mm.
Something. Let's go to Paris.
Never been to that country. CBS Sports Radio.